So back when I was going through confirmation class as an eighth grader, our pastor was trying to convince us that the Bible isn't so boring after all. And he had my classmate open his Bible up to the Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, as it's sometimes known, and begin reading out loud. I'll never forget how bright red my friend's face got as he got further and further into the erotic descriptions of the two lovers' passion. And I'll tell you what, the lesson stuck. I never forgot that the Bible is full of interesting nooks and crannies, war stories, explicit love poetry, nihilistic treatises and rallying cries for justice, letters of advice and visions of dragons. The whole range of human experience is in there, good and bad. And in the Episcopal tradition, we read from multiple parts of the Bible every Sunday. Here at St. Mark's, our practice has been to only read three readings each Sunday, a gospel passage, a psalm, and then a reading either from the Old or New Testament, depending on the season. And the lectionary, which is our three-year cycle of biblical selections, forces us to engage with Scripture's many voices and genres. This practice teaches us that our Scripture and our faith is more than just the words and teachings of Jesus. It challenges us to engage with ancient streams of an ancient faith that stretch all the way back to the very beginnings of monotheism, a great big conversation between many different people, between humans and God, God and all creation. And through it all, God is continually challenging us to expand our notion of the sacred, to expand our vision of love. It's sort of a shame that the Song of Songs only appears once in the three-year cycle, on this Sunday. Although you may come across passages from it at weddings, because it really is romantic. And you know, we're lucky to have it even here on this Sunday, because both Christians and Jews debated whether to include this book in their sacred text at all. Because it doesn't really mention God, and it gets pretty graphic, and will totally make you blush to read out loud. What tipped it over to being included, though, was its potential to be interpreted as a metaphor for God's love for Israel and Christ's love for the church. It's also part of Jewish Sabbath and Passover practices, so they really couldn't do away with it. And in the end, this book had too much to say about love to be ignored. Here's why I'm glad the Song of Songs was included. The Song of Songs is a glorious celebration of beauty, pleasure, and joy. Because of this book, our Bible contains the line, "I am black and beautiful," and the utterly romantic, "For love is as strong as death, passion fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a raging flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it." Through its poetry, the Song of Songs declares that passion and romance is a sacred part of the human experience, a blessing from God. We need this reminder badly. When Jesus came to earth, he arrived at a particular moment in time with a crucial message for God's people. His focus was on justice, right relationship with God, the salvation of all peoples. So he gets in arguments with religious leaders about legalism and rules and hypocrisy quite frequently, just as he does in today's gospel. Jesus was deeply concerned about how human sexuality could be motivated by evil intentions or used to exploit and abuse. We should be too. But if that's all Christians ever talk about, sin and rules and self-control and how our hearts can defile and be defiled, we miss out on the parts of our faith that are about celebrating the human heart too. We know Jesus laughed. We know he danced and sang and feasted. We even know he was casually physically affectionate with the beloved disciple and the Gospel of John, snuggling up to his chest at the Last Supper. I just think most of the time, disciples felt like those parts of Jesus' humanity weren't as important to write down. And they had all these other scriptures, like the Song of Songs, like the Psalms, that were already part of their tapestry of faith and practice. As Christians, Jesus is at the center of our faith, but he's not all of it. There's so much richness at the periphery, the uncommon passage, the less talked about themes that are a delight to explore. Faith and love is so much more, includes so much more. I think we worry as preachers, I was actually explicitly taught this, that this Sunday might be the only chance someone has to hear about the salvation of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. So the tendency is always to preach that. But as Episcopalians, we get to lean on the liturgy here, because the story of salvation gets told every Sunday in the Eucharistic prayer. That leaves us preachers free to explore and play with so many other themes and important messages from Scripture to step into that great conversation. And so often, the lectionary cycle offers a counterbalance in and between our scriptural selections, not a but per se, but a yes and. The human heart is a source of defilement, yes, and falling in love is divine too. Other times it's the season of the church year itself that provides a yes and. Humans have and are polluting this world, yes, and creation is woven into our love stories too. God and Scripture expanding our notion of the sacred, expanding our vision of love. As human beings, it's natural for us to focus on God's relationship with us. But so much of Scripture and our hymnody reminds us that God is in relationship with nature and animals too. God's covenant with Noah is also with every living thing. So this season, these next five Sundays, they'll ask us to expand our view, to include the other than human voices and experiences and expressions of faith. We zoom out from the narrow anthropocentric focus and remember that God is making all things new. The good news of resurrection and salvation applies to all creation, living and otherwise. It's also common for us to portray nature as simply a location, the stage on which human dramas play out. But rocks and trees and mountains and birds are more than just set pieces and ambiance, more than just props. They are equal characters in God's great story. We must treat them as such, value them as such, not just for their profit potential or for what they can do for the human race, but as inherently good, intrinsically worthy of care, simply because God created them too. My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance." In the Song of Songs, creation participates in the love story. The birds and flowers, trees and vines help the lover call to his beloved. Nature can teach us to love. Sacred places can love us back. This month, I am leaving more than a community, more than a building. I'm also leaving a home, a town, a place, its rivers and hills, the apples from the tree in our yard my daughter teethed on last autumn, the raspberries that stained my son's little fingers each summer, the divot in our road that made for excellent puddle jumping, and all the bushes my dog loved to sniff. I am leaving a piece of God's creation that loved me, that helped me raise my children. I am grateful for that love, just as I am grateful for your love for me. There are birds and trees and rivers and rain where I am going too, just like there were at the last parish I was part of. And I will learn again, as so many in our sacred scripture have learned, that God is already there in that new place too. Our care for creation does not need to rely only on our anger at climate injustice, on our fears of rising temperatures and sea levels, or our lament at the extermination of so many species of animals and insects, although it should. Care for creation should also be, must be, grounded in joy and beauty, passion and gratitude to all the genres of scripture, all the ways of loving and being loved. My prayer is that each of us continually expand what our vision of what love asks of us, that we celebrate how all of God's creation participates in God's love for us, our love for each other, and our love and gratitude to God. Amen.